welcome to the SNS ICE podcast, your go-to source for the latest news and in-depth insights into the world of 6G in Europe. Join us as we dive into industry news, analyze the latest trends, and discuss the development of the new generation of cellular networks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carlos Antonaro, and I'm a director of EU Research Programs and Industrial Controls at the CTTC. And I'm also a chair of the Trials Working Group of the SNS. And we are here in 5G territory in Riga, and we are recording this podcast on lessons learned, hosting vertical experiments from the perspective of 5G and 6G experimental facilities. And to talk about this, we count with some representatives from all four star StreamD projects, which are on large-scale trials and pilots with verticals that were funded by the SNS-JU. They are still being funded. These are ongoing projects still, specifically from its first call. Those projects kick-started in January 2023, and now they are reaching their final phases. So I guess they have much to tell us about the lessons learned during their execution. And this is going to be kind of a roundtable or panel discussion. And with four speakers who accepted our invitation to join, I will briefly introduce them. And now we have Alessandro Trogolo from Telecom Italia Mobile. He's an innovation expert and standardization delegate, and he will be representing the TrialsNet project. So thanks and honored to come with you for this podcast.
Thank you.
We also have Janina Gauss, who is a working group leader on interfaces and connectivity at Fraunhofer IPT. She will be representing the TargetX project. Thanks for accepting our invitation, Janina.
Thank you.
And there's also Professor Spiros Denazis, who is an associate professor at University of Patras. He's taking part in FIDAO project. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And finally, there's David Gomez Barquero, who is a professor at UPV at University of Valencia, and he's leading Imagine Beyond 5G project. Welcome, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Carlos.
Very good. So after this quick round of introductions, let's delve into the discussions. But before that, I would like to tell you about your respective projects. A very short summary. So if I may suggest, let's keep it short, like 59 seconds each, to tell us a few words about, say, TrialsNet, FIDAO, Imagine, and TargetX. So maybe we can get started with TrialsNet, Alessandro?
Yes, thank you, Carlos. So TrialsNet is a project that is definitely focusing on development trials. We are dealing with three main domains for the use case development that are related to the infrastructure, transportation, safety, and security. The other one is focused on health and emergency. And the third one is about culture, tourism, and entertainment. So in this context, we are developing 13 different use cases, and involving different verticals that are going from municipalities, hospitals, also private companies. And I would say that all of them are quite important to experiment new features in the network, understand how the current network is working, and try to understand how the future network could be. And I would say that we are right in the second phase of the project, and the main achievement so far has been the first trial that has been successfully run at the beginning of this month. So I will report later about this.
Many thanks. Very good summary, Alessandro. What about TargetX, Janina?
So in TargetX, we are focusing on the verticals manufacturing, energy, construction, and automotive. And yeah, we are having a lot of FSTP projects, so financial support for third-party projects. And we just finished the first support program for this first open call, so we have two. And the first support program has now finished. And we had 26 projects in this first open call, support program.
Excellent, many thanks. Spiros.
Yes, in FIDAO we focus on PPDR, vertical and media. Vertical and also combination of them. We have six, let's say, categories of use cases. In particular, in our testbeds, we are going in, just to give you an example, we are going to have digital twins for first responders, XR assisted services for public safety, and also we have advanced media services for big sports areas. The main achievement so far is that we were able to basically automatically deploy a number of services from these verticals, and we have run the first experiments. And finally, we have concluded the first open calls, and now we are about to evaluate the second phase of open calls.
Very good. So sounds like lots of work there. All right. Finally, David, what about Imagine Beyond 5G?
Yes, so in Imagine Beyond 5G, we cover a wide range of verticals from PPDR, media, e-health, education, transport and logistics, industry, agriculture, and I think that's all of them. We have four different facilities, and each facility has even different nodes, so representing or targeting different verticals. And we have had already two open calls. The first one is finishing this month and next month with 15 projects. The second open call had another 15 projects, and it's open now, the third one, where we expect again another 15 projects, more or less. Well, it's hard to highlight a single use case, but we have had very successful trials in the port of Valencia, and also with the Norwegian defense.
Excellent. Many thanks for summarizing the scope of Imagine Beyond 5G. So now let's go ahead with the questions. Stream the project, it's all about experimentation, I would say, with verticals and on the basis of the platforms that you develop. These are supposed to be used to offer some tools and services to vertical experimenters for deployment and testing. So what are the common services and tools that you offer in your projects? I mean, any hint on that, any idea?
Okay, so maybe I can start just...
As you prefer, the floor is all yours.
Yes, thank you very much. I would say that is a quite heterogeneous field because, as I said before, we are addressing a lot of different types of vertical applications. So in order to, let's say, to deploy these use cases in a trial, first of all, we defined the use cases. And therefore, based on the use case requirement, we identify the technologies that they can support actually the implementation of the use cases. Technologies can have, of course, two different ways of to be understood. One of the application layer and one on the network side. So we actually deployed, the use cases are deployed in four main clusters located in Spain, Italy, Greece, and Romania. And in this, on this side, we developed a specific network infrastructure supporting end-to-end reconfiguration, orchestration features, artificial intelligence features. And from the application side, we introduced advanced technologies that are going from virtual reality, Internet of Things, digital twin. So all these tools together are essentially provided to the verticals. And we are also, developing the application according to the requirements coming from the verticals. So basically, there is a direct interaction with the verticals exactly to deploy first the use case with the technology that are useful to the vertical itself, and then to design and deploy the network supporting these use cases.
Both at the network and the application.
Exactly.
As you said. All right. Is it also the case for other projects? Same separation or split, or what are the tools and services that you provide to experimenters?
In our case, because we have been supporting experiments since, I think, 2018.
Long time.
Long time. I think based on this experience, we have developed a software, open source software, which is called OpenSlice. And this is basically an OSS system that allows you to automate the deployment of those services. So, but at the same time, it tries to accommodate and implement a number of API, standard APIs from TMA Forum or GSMA templates. And recently this has started to be an open source software development group activity in Etsy. So through this, we are able to transform high level requirements into specific API calls from various standard APIs in order to facilitate the experimentation. At the same time, we have developed monitoring tools, which are very useful for the experimenters in order to be able to affect the behavior of the service while it is running in our test beds. So these are the main tools that are required from the perspective of our experimenter in order to support the various types of experiments.
Open slides and monitoring tools.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, for Target X, we have for each of the FS2P projects, we have a mentoring. So each of the projects does have a mentor that kind of collaboratively with the project kind of helps them to get their use case implemented in our test beds. We do have 5 test beds in 2 locations. So one is the IDIADA test track in Spain for the automotive domain. And then we have the 5G Industry Campus Europe, where we do have our test beds for manufacturing, edge robotics, energy, and construction. And this diverse set of projects kind of together with the mentors looks at how to integrate into the test beds. And actually, that's also the main thing. We offer the 5G network and the relevant environment from the verticals in the test beds, and then help to integrate and support the integration. So for us, most of the open call participants have the first time that they are working with 5G. So that's kind of where we support with the use case implementations and trial execution.
Very complimentary, I see. David, any other views from your side?
So in Imagine Beyond 5G, what we are working mostly, it's on APIs. We have, as I said, different test beds, and they are advanced 5G private networks for the experimenters or third parties. And we have try to replicate the current trend in public networks to make APIs to ease the use of advanced features of the network for developers. And we have also a number of tools for monitoring, but those are meant for validation, it's mostly KPI validation of the application. And in Imagine, we are not working on the application level, so the application comes from the open caller, let's say, and what we do is integrate that or onboard that application into our facilities using APIs.
All right, so you are more focused on the network infrastructure, and the application side is provided by applicants to open calls. Ah, that's very interesting perspective and very complimentary to others that have been, say, explained a few minutes ago. All right, so now I'm curious because as some of you said, I mean, it's been a while in some cases that you've been running experiments in 5G, beyond 5G and 6G networks. So time, say, flies and changes, and so do experimental platforms and trials and pilots. So maybe I was wondering, Spiros, I mean, what are the main challenges that you envisage or that you even have already noticed when it comes to new use cases or verticals in 6G as compared to those of 5G that you maybe started working in 2018, as you said before?
Okay, the changes. I think there must be a kind of change of perspective when it comes to 6G, which so far we have looked at the core of the 5G or 6G technology, and then we move to the verticals. I think it should be now the other way around. And in other words, instead of starting creating 6G infrastructure, we should start creating vertical infrastructures that are supported by 5G or 6G, and at the same time integrate the other technologies that are beyond, let's say, 6G. Or I'll give you an example. We can include, let's say, IoT, LoRa, this kind of technologies that integrate the whole thing and manage this ecosystem of infrastructure as a whole. In this way, you accommodate also integrate platforms that are quite familiar to the vertical developers. And in this case, you allow them to develop applications and become your customers, whereas 5G stays at the core of these facilities in order to exploit the capabilities that are supposed to be there. Okay, this is my view for the next phase of. So we are talking about 6G for verticals, but I would say verticals or for 6G
all the way around. That's good to know. I don't know any other complementary views. I mean, in particular for those say who've been around for some time running experiments, Alessandro, maybe?
Just to say that I definitely agree with Spiros, for sure. So I think that the initial approach of 5G was exactly to provide the technology and say to the verticals, you can do whatever you want. This was not exactly, let's say, the way that it should work. So I think that the way is definitely to go to the verticals, understand their real needs, and then deploy the technology in support to their needs as well. And this is exactly an approach that we are using inside the project, because as I was saying before, we have basically collected the interest from the verticals in terms of use cases, the related requirements, and then developed the technology and actually facing some issues with the current technology in terms of performances, for example. It is nice that there are some new, I would say, verticals involved that usually deploy their solution on wired connectivity. And so the aim exactly to join the project was to understand if, let's say, their services can be really provided also wireless in a wireless way. And I'm talking about, let's say, media content provider, hospital as well, and also security agency that actually have a very, very specific and I would say wired development of their solution. And so the idea was really to find a way to, let's say, to bring a more flexible infrastructure that can also accommodate several use cases at the same time and being sustainable also from that perspective. So this was almost the main. And anyway, just to summarize, the point is to understand what the vertical needs. Brilliant. And then deploy the solution to help them.
And from those conversations, I mean, did you identify any, say, radically new use case, I mean, in 4G in comparison with those of 5G? Or is it more about the same but with more stringent requirements? Or
yeah, I don't know. I would say that the most interesting one and a new one is related to the health domain. So there is exactly a lot of room to understand the possibilities and the way the solution that we can provide. For all the others, I would say that there are the usual, in brackets, of course, use case about virtual reality, IoT, but in a more extensive way that should really impact the current network solution.
All right. And I don't know, I mean, Janina or David, I mean, any other, say, radically new use case that you are facing in your experiments or?
So I think that for the use cases that we have in 5G, they still stay relevant for 6G. So we are still not there and kind of really having them implemented. We have a lot of expectations that were raised at the beginning of 5G. And now it's kind of really the time to get them running and to also not only implement them, but provide a seamless experience. So currently, we still have a high integration efforts, and I imagine 6G to be much more seamless, much more integrated with existing technology, and also much more plug and play to use for the verticals. So currently, we still have some integration efforts, and I mean, imagining for 6G to have that more integrated, more seamless, and also then more clear use cases behind that.
All right, so usability plays a role here, I mean.
Yeah.
Enhanced usability makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, fulfilling the expectations that we have for 5G.
That's very good. You touched upon an interesting point. I mean, in one of the previous interventions, it was about going from experimentation to deployment, I mean, which is, I mean, the next step, but you can also start envisaging what the where the main difficulties are, right? So what in a nutshell, what are the technology gaps between testbed or experimentation providers like you and the vertical developers that are collaborating with you that might hinder deployment? I mean, at a later stage of the development of 6G. I don't know, maybe we can start with David.
Yeah, sure. So actually, I totally agree with the last comment of Janina. There is a lot of integration efforts still today and with third parties. And that's why in Imagine we focus on APIs to make the access or and the use of advanced features of 5G easier to experimenters. As you know, there are right now global initiatives like Camara, Open Gateway, and so on. And I think they are working in the right direction to monetize these advanced 5G features. But the goal should be that it's as simple as possible, plug and play, as Janina said, ideally. Like verticals, they don't have any experience on telecom networks infrastructure, 5G. And it's there should be work trying to simplify or hide the complexity of 5G and definitely 6G. In my opinion.
All right. So either it is easy to use, deployment will be, say, really tough to be accomplished, right? In
vertical will not use it.
We'll simply not use it. That's very good. I don't know, any other complementary views or different views or disagreement? Please feel absolutely free to disagree, right? So we are here to chat and discuss, and we can be, say, totally misaligned with each other.
Actually, I don't disagree. This is a big integration effort. That's for sure. And I wanted to add that there is the gap that you mentioned is the gap between software engineers and not network engineers. This is the gap. So in our case, it took us a lot of time, in particular in the StreamD project, to collaborate with the vertical application providers to transform their application in a way that is easily deployable for the 5G testbed. In particular, to transform their application to NetApps, and these NetApps then to be deployed. So it is this gap that we have to fill in because the application were coming as a big chunk of software, but this is not useful for them exploiting the capabilities of 5G. So we did that, and that basically delayed also the actual trials. Because in order to have trials, we need to deploy them, and then you need to deploy them in a way that is the right way for the 5G. So I would say that this is one thing, and the other thing is that to see the perspective of the application provider, or at least the customer, that would like to use some resources in the testbed. So how to transform high-level requirements into low-level API calls that configure the end-to-end path. So those are the two big gaps that we have to close collaborate with the verticals.
Oh, that's very good. So it's about integration and APIs, and also transforming high-level requirements into low-level requirements for the network. That's a good thing. Interesting to know. And there's one thing that intrigues me. You mentioned, in all your projects, there are this part of the budget, which is reserved for experimenters, to take part and to join the project via the open calls to run, additional experiments or even provide additional experimentation platforms, right, to be used in the project. Can you tell us a few words about the profile, I mean, of participants in those open calls? Is it mostly about large companies, or is it about SMEs, academia, representatives from the vertical sectors, or it's a mixture of all of them, or some of them dominate? It could be, say, radically different in your project. So I think it would be good to go around the table and tell us about your perspectives, potentially different perspective. Let's see. Let's see what they tell us. I don't know. David, maybe we can start with you.
I mean, well, in our case, we have a lot of SMEs. There are a number of them which are like already part of the community, you know, and they are familiar with all, well, European projects and so on. But there are we are also receiving applications from SMEs that they have never participated in a EU project, and that's like a hassle, additional one, like because when not, it's like, you know, the first experience for a company, a small or big, in a EU project is there is a learning process as well. But we had the commitment to allocate 50% of the budget to SMEs, and but we haven't had to do anything, because always in the ranking process, automatically there were like 60% or I think even more of SMEs.
All right, so many SMEs, majority of SMEs, be them, say, already used to participating in projects or even new ones.
Exactly, yes.
Does it make a difference? I mean, the record track of participation in projects when it comes to integrating those files?
Yes, definitely. It's a huge difference, especially, well, we have relatively small projects, you know, like, well, 1 year. This third open call will be 6 months only. And then having that background and experience, the track record in EU projects, that makes a lot of difference. But it's true that open calls allow you to get partners of companies, SMEs, that they have never participated in EU projects. And I think that's also very beneficial for the SNS community, and also because they bring like new ideas, you know, and it's more work, but it pays off.
That's really good. What about the rest?
Yes, just to echo in what David said. Okay, first of all, I introduced TriSnet as a project that can deploy, of course, everything starting from the use case, the definition, deployment, and trials. Of course, we had also our open call, on which onboarded 24 new use cases, so 24 new trials. There were a different way to apply to the open call from how we launched the call. So essentially there were the possibility to apply as a single, entity, or even a small consortium of at maximum three entities. And then there were also other two technical options how to apply. One was, to provide what we call the option two, so a completely independent network infrastructure, network solution on top on which they should run their own use cases. Or the one that you call option one, that was essentially just to propose a new use case over, the infrastructure provided by the project. So we try really to cover almost the possibilities. And having said that, it's almost the same situation as Beyond 5G. We received the one that were onboarded were mostly SMEs. And again, here, some of them were already aware about how the European funded projects are working, the context of 5G, and some other were completely, arriving from the sky. But it was quite interesting, and actually we are in the middle of their mandate, because they are supposed to work for 1 year, so starting from May 2024 to May 2025. And actually we are going to have the mid-term review with all of them, and so we will exactly check their, their progresses that, by the way, are monitored on monthly basis. So anyway, I would say that over 24 sub-projects that we onboarded, 17 of them are led by SMEs. Then we have three about academia, two big companies, and the rest is, the others that are also, in some cases, just verticals deploying their own applications.
That's very good. I don't know, what the rest? I mean, in particular, I'm, say, curious about the role of vertical companies. I mean, the level to which they participate, companies from I don't know, industrial manufacturing or health services, if they participate or they are potential users of your projects.
We have the same experience with the rest, SMEs and academia. Okay, I think equally divided, more or less, based also on the evaluation process. One thing that is a problem is the fact that we have not managed to establish as a community a process to onboard these SMEs and verticals and whatever application there is. And that is, I think, a field where we need to improve ourselves, because we are going through a lot of feasibility, let's say, checks, webinars. There should be, I would say, a webinar as an SNS community that respects specific processes, and in order to invite these people, then we will be more serious about how to accommodate these people and maybe attract additional one.
Parameters.
Yes, I think the attitude from the SMEs that they are not very familiar to 5G or 6G is they look at it as a black box, okay, and they just want to run their application. It doesn't work like this. So we need somehow to convert for this in order to facilitate the onboarding of these
companies
and their application. So they should know in advance what kind of criteria they should meet in order to be able to deploy in any of these infrastructures their services.
Yeah, for Target X, we also have mostly SMEs. So our first open call was completely focused on SMEs. So only SMEs were allowed to apply. The second open call was open to also universities, research centers, and larger companies. And what we have seen from the first open call is that most of them are coming from verticals. So we have... Yeah, also kind of the topics that they are applying to are coming from the verticals. And yeah, we also had more technical ones, but are more 5G, 6G focused ones. The other ones are, of course, also technical. But yeah, the main part is coming from the verticals. And what we see there is that they are actually focusing on their applications, kind of extending their applications to work with 5G, extending platforms to work with 5G. So they are... their focus is on solving verticals problems, and yes, you said it's kind of using 5G as a means of communication, and also for them a lot of benchmarking is going on. So understanding, can I use the technology for my application, or what is perhaps missing? But is that usable for me? So that's the first test, or for many of them it's the first test. And yeah, for the first open call we had, so we have quite small projects, 7 months, and the second open call will be 9 months. So we have them a large portion or a large number of entities. So in the first open call, 33, and then the second, and then in the end, we would have had 98 entities testing, and all of them kind of, being integrated.
All right, so in summary, I mean, SMEs play quite a substantial role in those projects. In some other cases, there are also vertical companies joining and experimenting, plus few academics and large companies also taking a role there. All right, so I would like to make maybe a final question to you, because you've been running experiments for quite some time, and as you go, I mean, there are, say, lessons that you learn from those experiments, maybe technical or non-technical ones. I mean, this technology works, this other technology does not. So, I don't know, maybe regulation plays an important role when it comes to, say, deploying networks, say, on streets or whatever. Anything that you didn't know from the very beginning, that you started running trials and pilots that you learned as you go, which could be maybe useful for other, say, projects starting their trials and pilots in the coming months and years. I don't know, maybe we can start with David. Any lesson learned?
There are many lessons learned.
So I realized that.
There are many lessons learned, but yeah, in the like managing open calls and then
non-technical, that's perfect.
Yeah, non-technical, I have to say. And also, we have discussed it a bit, but the challenge of having like a third party, you know, that they didn't know about the proposal, you don't know them, you have never collaborated with them, and then you have to say, okay, let's integrate your technology, application, whatever. It's a learning process, and you have to do it yourself, you know? It's not like cool. Give some tips, but it's like driving. You have to learn yourself. Nobody else can tell you. It's because in Imagine we have 3 open calls. We clearly see that we are improving, like now with the second with respect to the first one, and now with the third one, and it's a it's an experience, but it's a lot of work, I have to say.
All right, so it's the importance of training open callers from the onset, right?
Yes, definitely.
In short, that's pretty good. I don't know. Take the floor. I mean.
Yes, just again to agree with David. So the paradox is that in a technical project, the most impacting, let's say, and unexpected stuff came from the non-technical stuff. One was for sure the open call. So we were not, let's say, envisaging such a lot of effort really first to, let's say, prepare the call itself, because we were, I mean, targeting a specific use case with specific requirements, at least. And after, let's say, managing the open call. So, I mean, the project that has been onboarded. And the other point that I think that is quite, it was quite surprising, at least personally, but also for the consortium, since all our use cases are involving users, the ethics aspects was something that we actually were not considering at the beginning. So we really need, let's say, to reconsider completely our approach to the use case, also to take into account these ethics aspects. And so, I mean, these were the most two non-technical issues. For the technical one, I mean, the usual business, when you integrate stuff, et cetera, you will always face issues that anyway, at the end, you can find a way to solve them.
All right, so it sounds, I think, from your, say, interventions, open calls, I mean, brought you some, say, headaches, if I remember. Of course, I mean, also successful results, for sure. For those who are not that familiar, I mean, the percentage of budget allocated to open calls, it was?
For us
40%.
Was 40%,
yeah.
So it's very substantial, I mean, with respect to the... I think it was at later stages called 2 projects, I think it was... reduced, I mean, to 20, if I remember correctly.
The first goes 0. The third call, yes.
Well, the lucky one.
All right. So, I don't know, Spiros, Yanina, anything that you would like to add about lessons learned, technical or non-technical?
Yeah. Okay. We have identified that integration or at least accommodation of all these experiments is requires a lot of effort, okay? And... therefore, you need the tools in order to be able to, let's say, speed up this process and reduce the time to have the application of the vertical ready for experimentation. For us, it was also a big question about, let's say, the reliability of our testbed, because initially we built that from off-the-shelf tools and open source software. So if there was a problem with measuring KPI, is this a problem of the software, the open source software, or is it another problem? So we started thinking about bringing or increasing the level of maturity and reliability of our testbed. That's why we have deployed nowadays a production network in our place in order to use this as a reference, let's say, point for all the other tests, for all the other tests that we are carrying out. And at the same time, the experimenters are of different kinds. They may require just a base station and a core, or they may require a wider deployment. So it depends on their needs. we have built a scale. We managed to scale these experiments from standalone, let's say, 5G testbeds to wider deployments. For us, the reliability and the closeness of the testbed facility to a production network was major, in particular when you want to serve verticals. Okay.
All right. So it's about integration and accommodation of different scales of experimentation that, I mean, that can be, say, challenging.
Yeah, for us, I think one of the main learnings is also the gap between expectations and reality. So if we go back,
like life.
So if we go back to the marketing and we hear how much throughput is possible for 5G, for example, and then also the experimenters kind of have this number in mind, and then they come and then see it's only possible in downlink, kind of, and yeah, so. There is this gap, and also we have all these advanced features, but kind of how this applies to the applications is something then where the integration efforts also come in. And also where this ask for higher adaptability, higher seamless experience is coming from. And but in the end, kind of what is the interesting part or the achievement is kind of how much we are able to enlarge the ecosystem with having so many different applicants from different verticals, so manufacturing, energy, construction, automotive, so very diverse verticals, and also integrating them into the ecosystem towards the 5G, 6G development.
All right, that's an interesting view. I mean, making the family bigger, I mean, can be very rewarding. And this is one of the, say, goals of those, say, Streamd projects. So very interesting views, I have to say, very complimentary. And I think, say, they will be really enlightening, not only to our audience, but also to, say, future experimenters in the under the umbrella of the SNS Gen Undertaking or other, say, national programs. I think thanks for sharing your views once again. And I have to say that the story goes on, right? I mean, this those projects from Call One, they are coming to an end, more or less. But there will be others. I mean, Streamd projects that have been funded by the SNS Joint Undertaking. Since those four ones started, there were two in Call Two, a few more from Call Three, which will be starting January next year. And also for future R&I work programs of the SNS Joint Undertaking, there are more calls for Streamd projects planned for the years to come, which is very reasonable since as we move from, say, research to commercial deployments, there is a need to allocate some room to experimentation. So more room to experimentation, I would anticipate that will be needed in the coming calls. So I think that's all from our side, I would say. So once again, let me thank the speakers for your contributions and lively discussions today. Many, many thanks for this, and also to our audience for listening. And with this, I can say we are closing this panel discussion, this podcast, and for all of you, have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlos. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Ciao.
This podcast is brought to you by SNS ICE, an EU-backed project focused on creating a collaborative environment for the development and deployment of 6G smart networks and services. The project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon Europe Research and Innovation Programme under Grant Agreement number 1010958411.